Is it ever appropriate to fight? I mean, growing up, I'm sure you had some kind of squabble with a sibling or a classmate or friend on the playground, and you were told by an adult, don't fight. We're not supposed to be fighters. Is there ever a right time to fight? In fact, are we as Christians ever told to fight for anything? Hello, my name is Paul Hines. I'm pastor of Mumfordville Baptist Church. Each week, I bring a devotion from God's Word. And this week, we're in the short letter of Jude. Here, Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, brother of James, who also writes one of the New Testament letters, is writing about fighting for the faith. Here in Jude, verses 3 and 4, I wanted to spend a few minutes considering the reality that there is something God has encouraged us to contend, to fight, to wrestle for. To continue to defend, to stand up against the opposition, that we might continue to hold our ground where he has told us to stand, and don't let anyone or anything remove you from the ground upon which God has called you to stand. There are forces from the outside that will seek to bring about a shift, a movement in where they want us to be standing, how they want us to stand. The enemy, Satan himself, is bringing about people and situations in order that he might cause us to question where we're standing and cause us to desire to stand somewhere else, or even convince us that it's okay if we stand here and other people stand over there. We are both right. That's kind of the view that's being pushed at us today in our world, that it's okay if you stand where you stand, and I'll stand where I stand, and we'll both be okay. Well, the reality is there is only one place to stand, and that's on the truth of the Word of God. That is our source of authority. That is our source by which we understand who we are, who the God of the universe is, and how we have a relationship with him. In Jude, verses 3 and 4, let's read that together. Dear friends, although I was eager to write you about the salvation we share, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. Here, Jude begins this section by saying, dear friends, he wants to remind them, look, we're on the same team. I love you. I love you as a friend. I love you as a family member. And what I'm about to tell you in the remaining words of this letter, it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging to you, and you're not going to want to hear it, but I'm telling you out of love. Our world often tells us that when we correct someone or tell them that they're wrong or point out an error, we're not loving. Well, in reality, it's loving to tell someone that they're headed towards destruction, that they're headed toward hell, that they're headed toward a relationship forever banished from God. And so here, Jude is writing, encouraging, saying, look, I love you. And I really, he said, I wanted to write about salvation. I wanted to write about the rescue that we have in Jesus Christ. Salvation is being saved from the penalty of sin by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, belief in his burial and resurrection, that we understand our sin separates us from God, and Jesus alone paid the penalty for our sin. We believe, confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of all things, including me, that he died on the cross for my sin to give me forgiveness of my sin between me and God, and that I can have a relationship with God through Christ. I believe that he is the sinless Son of God who died on the cross, was put in a borrowed tomb, and rose again on the third day. Jesus lives forever to intercede for me. I repent, meaning I stop living a life of sin in contradiction to the Word of God. I repent. I stop going in my own direction, and I change. I turn toward my Savior. That's the gospel. That's salvation message. He said, I really wanted to write encouraging you about these things. Instead, he said, I found it necessary. I found it compelling. The Holy Spirit directing my pen to write these things to you, appealing to you to contend for the faith. That I'm compelling you to fight for, to agonize over, to defend the faith. That we are to stand our ground for where God has called us to stand, to contend, and to defend this place, to defend what He's given us. Remember, we're told in Ephesians 6 that we're to put on the armor of God. And he reminds us there, we don't fight against flesh and blood, though the enemy uses flesh and blood. We're fighting ultimately against spiritual forces in the heavens. And as we put on the armor of God, we're standing against the tactics of the enemy. We stand and contend. We fight for, not out of evil, malicious means, but from a position of love, grace, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, guided by the Holy Spirit, putting on the armor of God. We contend for the faith, the faith. The faith is the gospel that I just mentioned to you. That's the faith. The words that have been spoken before, the words that he tells us in down in verse 17 of this letter. But you, dear friends, remember what was predicted by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what you've been told. Remember the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, the bad news of your sin, and the great news that he conquered it on the cross. Fight for, defend the faith. There is no room for anything beyond the truth. The truth is, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Some of us want to get sentimental and we, out of a right heart, are concerned for those who don't know Jesus, and we try to play some kind of mental gymnastics with our faith and believe that these people, just because they say the name God, just because they talk about God and maybe even pray to God, that they're going to be okay. But the faith is only found in Jesus Christ. That's what we defend. That's what we stand for, that individuals are only made right with God through Jesus. He says that we contend for the faith. It's not multiple faiths. It's not multiple avenues or multiple ways to God. It is the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that was delivered, meaning it was given to us. It was made available to us in the Gospels, in the New Testament, prophesied about in the Old Testament, declared in the New Testament. Sealed in the book of Revelation, we're told nothing needs to be added to or taken away from what is in this book. It was delivered to the saints, those who believe in Jesus Christ once for all. This gospel message, the faith, was delivered one time for all people, never needing to be added to or taken away from. It is to be contended for as it is. Why does he say this? Verse 4, for some people who were destined for this judgment long ago have come in by stealth. They've snuck in. They are ungodly, turning the grace of our God into sensuality and denying Jesus Christ, our only Master and Lord. What he's saying is that some people will bear the name Christian, but will manipulate and change and pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we must contend for that gospel for all time. Are you standing for living out and loving the gospel of Jesus Christ once and for all delivered to the saints? If there's any way that I or Mumfordville Baptist Church can help you in walking in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, please reach out to us. You can find information about us on our website at mumfordvillebaptist.org. I hope this day finds you contending for, fighting for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. What an amazing gospel. Hope you have a great week. God bless.